As you all, those of you who remember last Sunday's message, I gave you, you had a little diagram that you had on your bulletin. Well, this morning, I'm wanting to share with you from God's Word, focusing on the power of Jesus' blood, the power of Jesus' blood. And if you had been looking at the diagram that I've given you, which dealt with we are a three-part whole individual, body, soul, and spirit. The body dealt with the functions of everyday life, the brain process and all. The soul is our personality. The soul dealt with the beliefs, the attitudes, meaning relating to us physically. But the spirit that Christ has placed in us is not controlled by the function of the body, nor is it controlled by the human soul. And God breathed into man, and man became a human soul, a spirit. God says, I will give you my spirit, but first you need to understand, I'm going to give you my blood. I'm going to give to you life-sustaining power. So we know there's power in our blood. If you don't believe that, go out this afternoon to ask somebody to drain you of all your blood. And you will notice that your physical body dies. The brain process dies. And where are your thoughts of good parts, your beliefs, your attitudes? Well, they're supported by the human blood. There is power in the blood, his blood. But he also gave power to our blood. We have about 5 quarts of blood in our body, which circulates, in less than 20 seconds or so. You nurses will straighten me out later. But as it circulates throughout your body. And as it goes through the body, we know also that it takes out all the garbage and also feeds the body in the process. So therefore, when your blood is gone, then your human existence is over. But Jesus said, I'm giving you power in your blood. Here's what I want you to focus on. The power that God gives us, the power in his blood, whether I lose my mind, whether all my faculties are gone, that God says, my blood from my son will stay with you throughout eternity. You all know how I despise the Alzheimer's disease, and how it seems as though that individual, and actually it is, a process where they no longer remember who you are, even as a child, as a friend, as a spouse. But there's something more about the power of the blood of Jesus than there is about just our human blood that keeps the body flowing. All of us either know of someone, have someone in our family that suffers from the horrible disease of Alzheimer's. Everything that you see that is in existence of you, the physical, all of the physical is going to die. We have to. Why? Because God says, and in order for us to meet him, we must meet him through the spirit that he has given us, his Holy Spirit, meaning that you and I are spiritual individuals, spiritual children of God. So God looks after us and watches all of life beat us down. Some points of life we can almost stand up, and we can take another step, and we're down again as life takes its toll on us and as living takes its toll on this human body, the blood continues to circulate. But when it ceases, only the physical ceases. Not who you are, nor who I am. It's great that our blood talks to God. God gave us blood. Well, let me read the scripture for you. This is power in His blood. I want you to listen to it. In God's providence, in the will of God, our blood has a voice. Cain and Abel. If you remember that Cain was jealous of his brother, and so he killed his brother. And listen, in Genesis 4:10, as the Lord comes back on the scene, the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." That's power. God gave us a powerful connection from our conception. And when was our conception? Well, when you really get deep in the scripture, we understand there's not a time that ever existed that we were not in the heart of God. And God is still in control. When God looked at the chaos throughout all galaxies, throughout whatever exists, He said everything was a mess. So I gave it meaning and purpose. And He gave it meaning and purpose for you and me. Because He said, it's going to be the offspring of my son, Jesus. And every prophet throughout the scriptures proclaimed the coming of the Christ, the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That gift was a gift that God had decided before existence began. Folks, I have a hard time remembering. And some of the stuff I purposely forget, I'm sure, of my past. God knew us before time. And that's a long time. That's power. But the power is in the blood of who God is, through His Son. So the blood that is within us, as it cries out, what does it cry to God? It cries out to God, we are hurting. The blood will cry out to God from the ground. From any situation you're in, that blood that God has given you to make this body and the soul animated on planet Earth, God says as it talks to you, takes in all the garbage, and takes out all the garbage and pulls in all of the life as it flows. Does that not remind us of the blood of Christ? The one who was to come and who has come, the same yesterday and today and always. So the Lord says, I gave you your voice, even through your blood. And God says, I am in control. And it is the blood of Christ that gives us the power to supersede the strength of humanity or all the wiles of Satan himself. In God's judgment, Jesus' blood is the truth criteria. God said, I'm going to look in your life, the spiritual you. It is that heartbeat of your spirit that is the only thing that's leaving planet Earth. All the physical is going to go back to dust, but not the real you. The real you is kept in the hands of God. The real you has the blood of Christ as a Christian. And the blood of Christ shall never, ever see death. We are living beings, and we will live throughout eternity. That's a blessing, especially if your eternity is with Christ. And the most horrible feeling I can't describe it, to be in a place where God isn't. The love of God, hope is gone. There's no hope. And yet an individual lives. The scripture says they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains, but they will not fall on them. They cannot die, because you and I and all other human creation, we were created in the image and likeness of God. And God says, here's the likeness I want you to catch. I'm sending my Holy Spirit. We're spiritual beings. Therefore, the Lord said, you must worship me if you're going to. You got to worship me in spirit and in truth. And by the way, Larry, I'll give you my spirit to worship me. What do we do with it? Do we use that special gift, that spirit that God gives us on the inside, to make more, do more things, let's just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die? And the Lord spoke, and he said, thou fool, today is your soul required. You're not promised tomorrow any more than I am. When you woke up this morning, God gave you a perfect day. By the time you go to bed tonight, if it's messed up, you did the messing. Not him. He says, another day. I want you to find peace in the world. But the only way to find that ultimate peace is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but I don't understand that. Good. Because if you understand that God didn't do it, you cannot box God in our little minds. You know, I was surprised when I was doing some study this week on the brain. Oh, and it's disheartening. Don't do that. If you're going to study something, study your stomach or something. But you get in the brain. And you know, the people that said you only use a tenth of your brain. Well, this other group of scientists says, well, no, that's not true. You use 100% of your brain. We just don't know what all of those percentages do. So God knows. And what you have in you to walk in the pathway of Christ on earth, he gave you. He gave it to me. And he said, I don't expect it. Here's what I want you to do. Do what you can. Remember Jesus, when Mary came, poured expensive ointment on him, and the disciples were going wild about it, and he calms them down and tells them to back off. There was a lot of roughness in those days, folks, whether you read it that way or not. And he told them to back off, and then he said, she has done what she could. To do. God says, my blood is going to be given to you through my son, Jesus. And that's the truth criteria of whether or not you enter heaven. Now, Moses came and Moses gave the law. Well, listen to the scripture. Moses came and he gave the law. Well, in the law, Moses' law said that if you break the law, we'll kill you. You're dying. To break the law means death. And you have all these generations going through that are dealing with the law, legalism. And if they broke that law, then they would be put to death. Well, Jesus comes on the scene. And Paul is telling us in Hebrews 10:29, warning everyone. Listen, Moses' law, When you broke it, meant instant death. So listen to what he's saying about these people that are going against the blood of Christ. How much more severely? Now he's relating this to Moses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? The deaths of those that time era were not quick deaths, torturous dying. And yet we know through God's word that we are responsible. And how much more is going to happen to an individual who pushes away the saving grace through the blood of Jesus Christ, who tramples on God's word? You can take God's word and you can say all of these good things that you want to, folks. God's word deals with the hurt and the brokenness of your life and my life. His word deals with where society is today and where any society you can find. It is his word. And he says, don't push away my grace. Well, what does that mean? That means when God touches your heart and you know good and well you've come under conviction because you don't have that relationship with Christ. And when you say, well, I don't know how to have it. All these preachers, they said different things. Don't blame it on the preachers. God said, when you stand before me, you will stand without excuse because I will have revealed myself to you. It's through his Spirit. He touches our heart. He puts us on the right path. He shows us the direction that we should be walking in. And then he gives us his power to walk. And yet, we have a society that mocks the grace, that mocks the name of Jesus, that will mock the very Spirit of God. And as he watches those who mock his Son, God is not happy. Folks make you wife angry with you, your husband angry with you, anybody else you know. But don't get on the wrong side of God. God has a way of straightening us out real fast. If we belong to him as one of his children through the blood of Jesus Christ, he will chastise us, correct us. If we don't, we will see punishment. You do not want to be a part of the punishment from God. In God's salvation, let's deal with this. I was dealing with God's judgment. It all focuses on the blood. In God's salvation, Jesus' blood is mandatory for forgiveness. Mandatory. Well, you know, I've come on my good works. You don't have any good works. Well, I've come on my good looks. Well, wait a little while. You're not going to be looking too good. You know, I'm coming on me, and my good deeds. Outside of Christ, there is nothing good. We have got to listen to our spiritual heart that Jesus allows to beat through his blood. You are spiritual. You belong to Christ. And to say that you have accepted another God, then that other God will be doing the judging through your life. Hebrews 9:22. In fact, the law requires. Listen, Paul's throwing back at him. You keep throwing a law at me. You keep throwing a law at me. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The Judaizers, the individuals that were out there and saying, wait a minute, we're making these blood sacrifices. It was God who said, I don't want the blood of the of these goats and the sheep. They mean nothing to me. Your offerings are foul stench coming before me. Everything you read in the scripture was put there by God in order for you and I to understand how God built up all the way to our salvation by sending his son, and how God says you can be saved for on your own. Sometimes we don't even have enough sense to get out of the rain. I've always thought that was interesting, though. You know, you let a cloud come up in Kentucky, you know, with a little rain and a couple of pops of thunder or so, and folks say, I cannot go to church. You ever go to a football game or another sports event, watch them put on the ponchos and, you know, have them, and they're standing out there, lightning and all going on. I'm a fan. You're going to be a Cook fan one of these days when you put... Sports can become a religion, or it can be the enjoyment for which we want to watch it. But when it becomes a religion, it's just like any other part of our life. If your wealth becomes a religion, it'll be your wealth that will judge you. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ just like you and any other Christian. Therefore, it's through that personal relationship, the blood of Christ. And without his blood, there can be no forgiveness, because every prophet spoke of the Christ to come. He comes, and nobody paid any attention to him. And then he stayed and he taught, preached for 3 years. What he done, did all the others, nobody knows. Don't get into that stuff with them. But what he did do, that he wanted us to know, that he came for you and me, knows our name, and you'll never forget his name. You may get to a point in your life where the body, the physical body, ceases to work properly. Your human soul, your thought process and all of this, that is going to be gone, but you won't. Because the real you God has saved in your spirit that he gave us. The spirit God gave us is a gift from God. And he said, it is through my spirit I'll protect you every day. You will function the way I want you to when you listen to what I want you to do, not what you decide to do. The blood of Jesus Christ is mandatory for purification, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Nothing you can do is going to purify you from sin. Nothing I can do can purify me. It's already purified through the blood of Christ. Oh, yeah, but I want to do it my way so I can tell everybody what a great Christian I am. When you even think that way, you're in a mess already. Jesus' blood is mandatory for justification, Romans 5:9. Since we have now been justified, how? By his blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? The scripture says that you and I, those who've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, can never, ever be affected by the wrath of God. The wrath of God will never come against us. Chastisement, correction, through love, but not his wrath. Because you believe in Jesus, that's his son. Now, all these people want to say, well, there's other ways. Well, folks, you have to believe in your heart that the Bible is the word of God before you're able to accept what the Bible says. If you're getting up with someone and they say, well, I don't even believe in the Bible, well, you might as well hang it up, folks, because as a Christian, you're getting ready to quote from the Bible that a person doesn't believe. Leave it alone. Yeah, but I want them saved. Well, God wants them saved also, but it is the blood of Christ. It is God Himself who convicts them of the sin. If they're not convicted and you convince them, then they will not follow the Lord. If you bribe them to follow Jesus, they're only going to follow Him as long as they see the good steps of life. But as soon as the hard times come, we're out of here because we want to feel good. I can't feel good knowing people are going to hell. I cannot feel good watching the mutilation that is going on throughout the world and in our own state, throughout this nation, of the abuse against children. I don't feel good about that. What right do I have to get out here and say, okay, I'm going to lock myself in right here and I'm going to feel good, when God called us to go out and lead those who don't feel good? Feeling bad, I feel bad a lot of times. I hurt every day, half for years. Physical pain every day of my life. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love me. It doesn't mean that God's not blessing me. What it means is I'm in a body that can't come in the presence of God. But I can. The real me. And the Lord says, count it as you're already there. How do I do that? It's His Spirit, folks, that has taken us and blessed us with eternal life with Him. Eternal living with Christ, or eternally dying and yet never able to die. That's horror. Also, for our justification. Nope. For our how to overcome Satan. Listen, Revelation 12:11. They overcame him. You know, all these people said, I'll stand toe-to-toe with Satan. Yeah, you're going to get a whip. Now, he's had 7,000 more years dealing with human weakness than you ever thought of. You're going to lose. But listen to this, Revelation 12:11. They overcame him, who's Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What's their testimony? Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Interesting, America, the greatest land ever known. And yet we witness today the slaughter of Christians throughout other nations because they refuse to renounce Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we say, well, those are foreigners. Folks, I'm a Christian. The only thing I'm foreign to is this earth. You know why? Because this isn't my home. I'm just passing through. My nationality, my membership with Christ, everything that I have is with the Lord. Nothing down here is going to make it. Things are going to fall apart. The blood of Christ never separates. And then last, for salvation security. Here's the power. Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes, remember, look up to the verse before and you'll see how do you overcome him. Many people want to tell you good works, good deeds, and good living and all of this stuff. You overcome him by the blood of Christ. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. Speaking of those saints that have gone on. I, listen to God, I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. God knows my name. Jesus knows me. And he knows you when you've said yes to him. You and I, when you give your heart to Christ, then and only then will you see continual peace. Now, listen to me. Not the kind of peace that the world gives you, because you're going to have a lot of problems. As a matter of fact, the closer you try to walk with the Lord, the more hell's going to come against you. Guaranteed. But hell cannot overtake the blood of the Lamb. One of these days, like it was during the day of Moses, final plague, God told Moses, tell my people to take a brush, dip it in the blood of the Lamb, for the last plague is the plague of death, eternally dying, but never able to completely die. And let them put the blood over the doorpost. And when the spirit of death comes by, he said this, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Woo! When I see the blood, it's the blood of who Jesus is, not of who you are or of our works. When I see the blood, he recognizes Jesus' blood. It's the blood of his Son. Jesus hadn't even got here yet to walk on earth as a human being. But he was here. And he walked with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for the peace that only you can give. Praise you, Father, for the blood that you allowed to be shed for our existence. We ask you now, as you touch our life, that we will make those commitments you've called us to make, and that we will stand with you in all that we do. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.